Infowars.com/show.
Piercing through the globalist agenda, welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
That's one only for the people watching the show. If you're listening, you missed out on that one. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say that. But good meme. Pretty funny. Probably true. All right. J.D. Vance continues to grow on me. He continues to grow on the American people. He's got to be the most relatable politician I think we've seen, at least at this high of a level, potentially as the vice president. And so he was on the Theo Von podcast and was just fantastic. First, perhaps most importantly, he talks about releasing the Epstein list, clip 3.
Everybody in politics has a vice that's much worse than alcoholism, is the way that I put it. But we
release the list.
Seriously, we need to release the Epstein list. That is an important thing.
More of that. Say that every day. Trump should say it every day on the campaign trail. Vance should say it every day on the campaign trail. And then after you say it every day for a week, say, hey, where does Kamala Harris stand on the Jeffrey Epstein list? That'd be my play. That'd be how I play it. Now, here he talks about, this is a longer clip, I don't know if we'll play the whole thing, how we should be using the U.S. military not overseas, but at the border dealing with the drug cartels and the cartels running their criminal operations at the border in clip 4.
Why is it so bad? Like, what do you know a lot about the fentanyl crisis?
I mean, I know a fair amount about it. You know, I've worried about it for a long time. I've you know, worked on bills related to it. I mean, there are two basic issues, right? And it's like, you know, any business, there's a manufacturer, there's a wholesaler, and then there's the retail, right? And, you know, with fentanyl, it's not, you can't like make fentanyl in a trailer in somebody's basement, right? That's like, it's not like meth. It takes a really complicated, pretty sophisticated pharmaceutical process. So we know that a lot of it, maybe even most of it, the Chinese are making, meaning Chinese companies, not like necessarily the Chinese government, but they sure as hell know about it. And then they bring it in primarily through the southern border. And the Mexican drug cartels are like the wholesalers, right? If the Chinese pharma's the manufacturer, the drug cartels are bringing it wholesale style. Costco. And then it makes it in the street level.
Wow.
And I mean, it's really crazy, man. Like I was talking to a DEA agent about this a couple years ago. And I think this was in 2022. He was like, look, a few years ago, the cartels were making less than $1 billion a year. And he's like, in 22, 23, we think they'll make $14 billion a year.
Wow.
So like an explosion of drug trafficking in this country. And yeah, you hear about stories, and I don't think it happens that much, thank God, but somebody smokes a joint, it's laced with fentanyl, they go into a coma.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have seven friends and not even just like estranged people, yeah. You know, like, but not all best friends.
Sure.
But I have seven friends that that overdosed and died from fentanyl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me.
Right. And with harder stuff, it happens a lot. Like, I think with, you know, you hear about it being laced in marijuana, but like not that much.
Yeah.
But I mean, your point about cocaine, pills, like, you have to be careful. Like, seriously,
it's a huge thing.
It's an unbelievable crisis.
And it's like, yeah, you'd think that we'd – I don't know how you fight something like that. Maybe we need to have like a head of like the DEA or something on. Maybe he would be able to help or she would be able to help us figure that out a little bit more.
I think that'd be a very interesting conversation. But I think you've got to – I think you got to go to it at the heart. Mm-hmm. And something, you know, Trump did towards the end of his administration doesn't get a whole lot of headlines. Obviously, I'm biased. I think it should get headlines. Is he was using economic leverage to try to convince the Chinese to crack down on fentanyl manufacturing. Because if you get it at the source, right, That's, I think, really the way to address it.
Oh, there's fentanyl on half the bookshelves they make over, and that bitch will give way.
But you do that.
Let me just pause that real quick and explain something here. The cartels are the ones bringing in the fentanyl from the southern border, okay? And they work with mostly U.S. gangs. And this is what I met multiple fentanyl dealers when I was in prison. They told me how the whole thing works. And, you know, most of them actually kind of feel bad. You will get a big sentence if you're busted with fentanyl. I mean, you'll get a big sentence. And they will put you in prison for just some marijuana and all kind of people in there for marijuana, cocaine. I mean, you name it. They got these like ghost drug charges where they don't even have to catch you with drugs. If somebody says that you sold it to them, they'll just bust you for selling it. So I heard all kinds of stories. But fentanyl, they hit you hard. And sometimes what they'll do is if they can trace the source of the fentanyl that killed somebody to you, then they'll use that and say, you know, your fentanyl killed this person. And a lot of them actually feel bad about it. I mean, at least that's what they say. Maybe, you know, after they're in prison for a couple months or years. But this is how it goes. It gets into Mexico. Maybe sometimes it's from China. Maybe sometimes it gets manufactured in Mexico. And the cartels, working with the gangs in mostly the West Coast. I mean, they work out nationwide, but, you know, they're basically, most of them are in the West Coast, most of them California. And they will bring in the fentanyl to the Mexican cartels, to the United States gangs. And then the gangs will use the fentanyl to lace all these other drugs to make them more potent. So that you think it's the most potent cocaine or most potent crack or whatever it is you're doing. Even marijuana, and you think some people just smoke straight fentanyl. And you think, well, this is the best source. They have the most potent drugs, so I'm going to go to these guys. And so that's how they do it. It's well known. It's well documented. And most of these mules, I mean, you meet the mules, they get caught, they get arrested. Especially if you cross an international border, then it's even a bigger sentence. And all these mules, that's what they do. Almost all of the fentanyl is coming in over the southern border. Almost all of it. Hey, you can go, I mean, how many stories have there been? Border Patrol busts, massive fentanyl bust enough to kill everybody in Los Angeles. Now, most of this stuff is probably exaggerated, but the point is, we know where it's coming from. And it's the wide open southern border. How many Americans have died from a fentanyl overdose? So I don't want to play the rest of it. He goes on. And this is, you know, this is said in jest from Theo Vaughn, who, I mean, I don't know too much about him. I don't know if it would be fair to say he was a drug addict, certainly a user. He admits to that basically in this clip. So this is kind of said in jest, but at the same time, not to promote drug use, obviously, but at the same time, it's like it kind of hits home to an extent. Talking about drug use in America and why he doesn't use drugs anymore here in clip 5.
I don't know if I'd be sober if the stuff weren't killing people, to be honest with you. I know that's sad to say, but that keeps me out of the risk of it. You know, it just makes it too...
Makes it a little scarier.
Yeah, that's the thing. It makes it scarier.
Yeah.
But it's also sad that somebody, I mean, this is ridiculous to say probably, that somebody can't, you know, you can't even do cocaine in this country anymore, you know? And that seemed like a crazy thing to say. And don't say that. Don't say that. I said it. But yeah. But don't say that anymore.
I'm going to steal that line. After the election, though, man.
No.
We got to win first.
It's unfortunate.
You can't even do cocaine in this country anymore. So, again, the whole thing was fantastic. J.D. Vance is the most normal guy I think we've seen in politics. You can't even do cocaine in this country anymore. So again, it's not to advocate drug use, but I mean, it's pretty well known. Cocaine was extremely popular in the 80s, probably like the level of popularity that marijuana is now. And I mean, I'm no choir boy here. I went to parties in college. I know plenty of people that used cocaine. I know plenty of people that habitually used cocaine. I don't know anybody that ever died from it. And I never had any fear that somebody was going to die from doing cocaine at a party. Now that's like a real thing. Now it's like, you know, friends that are doing cocaine and bringing cocaine to parties. It's a whole different world. Whole different world now. Yeah, you might go in there and take a bump or snort a line of cocaine. Boom, fentanyl, you're dead. So it's like, yeah, it's a joke. Nobody's advocating drug use. But it's like kind of real at the same time. You can't even do cocaine in this country anymore. Guys, how many people, see if we can get a number on that real quick. It was probably zero when I was a kid. It's probably zero. So people might have OD'd, but they weren't dying from fentanyl. If you were, the crew just in my ear talking about ODing in the 80s. If you OD on cocaine, that's a totally different story than snorting a line of cocaine and dying from fentanyl, is what I'm saying. See if we can find, see, now the crew's basically scolding me saying people have been dying from drug use all the time. Okay, I'm not advocating drug use. I'm not denying that. I'm saying a kid at a party who might want to try to do cocaine, whenever it was not risking snorting a line and dying from fentanyl, is what I'm saying. Probably thousands of fentanyl deaths are happening now. It used to be zero. So whatever.